How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast. Millwall play Crystal Palace on Saturday. If you didn't know, 24 years we've been living next door to Alice. Mickey, welcome to the show, mate. You all right?
Not so bad, mate. And any Palace fans looking? Yeah, I can.
That's it. The Nigel's come to town on Saturday for the third round of the FA. Kai, welcome to the show, mate. You all right?
Yeah, cheers, mate. Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. Looking forward to this Saturday.
Buzzing for it. Buzzing, yeah. Indeed. I mean, obviously, as we all said there, I think try not to ramp it up too much, but obviously 7-8 years since we last played Palace in a competitive game. Obviously, it's been a while since we've been in the same division. Still not, but the FA Cup's brought us together. If you're new around it, obviously, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you're new, and obviously subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It does help us out just to move us up the charts a little bit more. But yeah, we're going to go straight into the show. Kai, you looking forward to the game? What are you expecting on Saturday, mate?
Buzzing. You know, it should be, you know, it's pretty much a sold out then, if not a sold out now. I'm not sure, there was only
sold out now,
so it could be brilliant.
I think
atmosphere.
So, yeah,
brilliant atmosphere, you know, and I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, first time we played them in a long time, 2013, I think the last time was. I think it was like a 0-0 draw at the Den, actually. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it'd be a really good test for us as well as a big derby. You know, there's a hopefully, we'll put a good performance in. All we ask is they give their all, isn't it? That's all we ask. You know, Palace have got a few players out now, haven't they? So, you know, I think we've got a really good chance of winning. We've just got to put in a good performance and hopefully the rest will take care of itself.
I think we need to stop with all that. Well, you know, hopefully we win, blah, blah, blah. I think we should just chat fucking... Palace is coming to town. It's going to be a big game. What's the biggest game you've been to at the Den? Did you go to the last lot of FA Cups where we've done Everton... And yeah, Leicester, yeah. And all that lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've been there with a full house and going.
I went to Upton Park when I was younger.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was about 7. My dad took me there. My mum was not impressed.
I think I went to the one where, that's probably the biggest game, I think. West Ham at the Den. That, like, Mother's Day Massacre is probably my favourite.
That was fucking superb. The Mother's Day Massacre was
And the Cheltenham one was going to be in 4-0 as well.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the Den's going to be a fortress.
We played Charlton at West Ham as well, didn't we?
Memory escapes me if that's the case, mate. I don't think that was the case.
I swear there was a...
Why would we play Charlton at West Ham? Why are you deviating as well from the game?
It was only because you went West Ham. It was only where we went up to Park and it just came into my head. I'm probably fucking completely wrong. It might have been Palace at Figgy, but yeah, no. It just suddenly shot into my head for someone over here. I've got no idea, mate. But
well,
no, it'll be alive.
The adrenaline is running for you, mate.
It'll be alive on Saturday, mate. The only thing I don't like with the big games is that you get all the proper fans out, but you also get a hell of a lot of strings, and you get the day trippers and all that lot, and they want to see the atmosphere and all that. And look, you want to see the atmosphere, great. You know, see the atmosphere, enjoy it, get involved, but just don't be a string. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the only thing for it. You know, this.
Cool. We're 2 minutes in and you're already sending for the fan base. Ugh.
Oh, mate, the last season.
I know what you're saying. I agree with you.
We've had some proper strings here recently, mate. People who suddenly, you know, they suddenly appear and they've come from fucking nowhere and they're fucking all over the place. And you're just like, what the fuck?
I get what you're saying, but we're here to talk about the football, man. Come on, this is it. Come on, this is going to be the big game Saturday. I think what I will say is, yes, I agree with you. You do get day trippers out on a Saturday, especially when it's a sellout. But it's the first sellout post-COVID. We're still in COVID, but it's our first sellout of the season. It's just going to be, you know, a great occasion. And I just solely hope, Kai, that the team turns up. And I mean, by turning up, I don't necessarily mean put a performance on that, you know, is a good footballing experience. I just want all 11 players out there to run like nothing for the shirt and just obviously represent them fans that are in the stand, that we're backing them full force.
I absolutely agree. And I think they will. You know, we've got a lot of players in there, you know, Billy Mitchell, Danny McNamara to name just, you know, name two that are Millwall fans. And they'll know exactly how much this game means to the fans. It means a lot to them as well. And I think that will stand us in really good stead because, you know, there's players there now who've been there for quite a few years. They're quite a, you know, experienced bunch. You know, if you think about the back line, Hutchinson, Cooper, Murray Wallace, them three themselves know what it's like to play in the FA Cup. They know, you know, Cooper. I remember the scenes when, you know, Cooper, it came off his arm, didn't it? Flew into the back of the net. And then obviously Murray Wallace won it for us against Everton as well. And Hutchinson, you know, has played in all them games as well. So there's players in there that have that have played these games, you know, and they know exactly what you need to be at, what level of work rate you need to be at to win the game. You know, and even just, you know, just put a performance on, just work hard and fight for every second ball. And that's all we ask. And I think they'll do that. And it'd just be nice to see, you know, a little bit of quality through that as well. And if we can do that, you know, we've got every chance. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the game on Saturday.
I just hope, obviously, with Palace, we'll talk a bit more about their team, I suppose. But obviously, they've got a few players away in the AFCON Cup of Nations duty. No Wilfred Zaha, who, you know, love him or hate him. I think, obviously, he had a couple of good games against us, a couple of poor games. Obviously, that momentous occasion, Dunny had him in his pocket, everyone talks about. And I think even Dunny spoke about it when the draw was done. Obviously, it's just going to be an interesting occasion. I just think, I personally feel like our players will hopefully rise to the occasion. And I just think they'll offer that bit extra. I hope that will get us over the line. I mean, Mickey, obviously, team news, we don't really know what to expect from the team Saturday. I guess one thing that we spoke about, I think saw in the media this week, is obviously a certain Jed Wallace. I guess we'll sort of address the...
See, that was weird. That was weird. Obviously, quite done the video about the rumour mill thing with talking about what was going on yesterday with Jed and all that. And one of the stories, you know, the 1 minute news at Den was saying that there's potential that him, Bennett and Keith are coming back. And then later on, news at Den puts another article out basically saying that Jed probably ain't going to be fit to play. And you're like, now is this just shithousery? Or, you know, did news at Den maybe fuck up, put out that he was possibly coming back and the club's got, no!
I think it's smoke and mirrors. I hope it means he's going to be available for Saturday. I mean, let's discuss obviously the ongoing saga around him. You know, he's muted, according to Sky Sports News. They jumped on it yesterday at the time of recording, which was Wednesday morning, sorry, saying that he's agreed a pre-contract with Beşiktaş. It's since transpired that Nottingham Forest are trying to sign him and they've had a couple of bids not back, the latest being £1.2 million. Obviously, a player that's out of contract in a few months' time. He's out injured at the moment with this quad injury. Let's read between the lines. We thought it would be a week layoff. We then had games postponed after Peterborough, so he should have been back for Coventry, Kai. He wasn't back. The manager said it's taken longer than expected for the injury, which is obviously not ideal. But bear in mind, this is a player that normally plays through injury a lot of the time as well. I hate to play devil's advocate with this scenario, but is there unrest between Jed Wallace and the club? Is there unrest at the moment? I mean, we know he's a kind of player. I don't think he'd do a Lyle Taylor and turn his back on Charlton at the time he did. And, you know, they got relegated and they could have done with his goals in the team. He didn't play the last 5-6 games of the season after COVID. Is Jed looking for a move this window? I mean, what's your gut feeling, Tanya?
I don't know, mate. I think Jed's always been committed to this football club. You know, he always comes across as a really honest guy. And a really nice guy as well. He's the last to leave the pitch at the end of the game. Claps the fans. You know, he's always the last one. He always gives his shirt to a kid or whatever. You know, and I think that shows that he does really love this club and he really does love the fan base. So I'd like to think that, you know, he's still committed to this club. He still wants to play for us. I know Mickey's looking at me like, no, that's, you know, but that's what I'd like to think. I've always, you know, I think everyone loves Jed Wallace in terms of his, you know, not just his play he's done for us on the pitch, but, you know, how good he is off it as well with social media and stuff. I really like Jed Wallace. That's
Mickey, before you go, let's talk about, obviously, we was at the Peterborough game and he didn't like the reaction from the fans at full time as well.
No, I didn't.
It'll be a small session. Before you go, though, mate, what I'm asking is, it's players of advocate here. If he's pushing for a move to Nottingham Forest, and just say they beat Arsenal in the cup, I'm not saying they will, but if he plays against Palace on the weekend, he'll then be cup-tied for the game if Nottingham Forest get through. I'm really playing devil's advocate here. I personally think he's not pushing for a move this window, but let's talk about it. There's a lot to it. I think there's more to it than meets the eye, personally.
There's interesting stuff come out, because there's a lot of stuff coming out where there's chat now of going that Millwall's hoping that it's signed for us at the end of the season, rather than move. I saw a report, I think it's News at Den or somewhere else. I've seen it today, I can't think where it is, but I've seen somewhere where Kavanagh was saying, you know, hopefully there's something about it where it was being said that, you know, look, you know, we're not going to sell him just for the sake of selling him. You know, if it means turning down offers, if we don't get the money we want, then basically we don't sell him till the end of the season. He goes, you know, if we, You know, if he walks, he walks. It's fine.
What about what Rowett said in an interview? It might have been with News Online. He said, we don't want to lose the player for nothing, a player that's done so well for us the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. It sounds like so many mixed signals coming out of the club here, which is obviously classic Millwall. He's our best player. We're probably going to lose him for free. I feel like at this point, we could have sold him in the summer, I feel like. There was no muted interest, but I'm sure if they offered him out and said you can have him for X amount, a lot of clubs would have been interested, because you see Forest are trying now. Bezitash want to get him in the summer, supposedly. I think if we offered him out then, we should have done so. But then now that we've said that we weren't going to sell him in the summer, we shouldn't sell him now, in my opinion, because we're really committed to losing money on him.
I mean, I spoke to a Forest fan earlier, and I said to him, you know, what's your views? What's your views on Jedding, you know, potentially? Do you know anything and whatnot? And he said, no, he said, all he knows is that the recruitment process at Forest has changed. And they used to just go out and buy anyone and anyone. And now it's all stat driven. And it's all stat driven as in what they need. And Jed come up on that radar. So they're going after Jed.
I suppose scoring double figures in goals and assists the last two seasons will help him on his way with that one.
Well, also, but that means, realistically, that means that Millwall's looking at Jed as well, that Millwall wants Jed. And I can see Millwall breaking the bank.
Millwall don't want Jed. Millwall have Jed.
But at the end of the season, they want Jed.
They could give him a contract now. He's rejected it, mate. He rejected a contract 2 or 3 times last summer and 6 months before that. He's turned.
Because I think he's trying to see what money he gets. And that's what I think. I think his agent's playing the game. His agent's basically sitting there going, look, I can't see Jed with a young family really wanting to move to Turkey. Yes, I understand, you know, it's a good team. It's potential. They, you know, potentially to be Champions League and all that lot. And I doubt if he get Champions League in the UK for playing for a low-end Premiership. If I'm honest, I'm a bit disappointed that he's possibly looking to go to another Championship team. I think that is a bit of a kick in the teeth, whichever way you look at it.
We don't know if that's a thing, though, because he's obviously
But, you know, to me, I think that's a bit of a kick in the teeth, because that just, you know, that's not about wanting to bet yourself. That's just fucking money or whatever. I don't know if Forrest are going to be able to give him the money for there. But look, it's always
I think you're wrong on the
Millwall
point, though. You're wrong, I think, because... I'll
be surprised if... I think he's looking... And his agent, the way his agent seems to be playing, it looks to me as if possibly something's going on. These figures are getting released. This 1.2 million is getting released for a reason. Yeah, it's either leaked by his agent, leaked by someone, and it's been leaked for a reason to put a figure out there to say, look, we want more. If he signs for Turkey on a pre-contract, then... you're fucked anyway. There's not really a lot what Millwall's going to do about it. But
well, Millwall's fucked already, because we could have got 5-6 million for him in the summer.
Yeah, well, they could have done, but they didn't want to sell him, did they? They don't want to sell him, so they played a gambling game.
Are they playing a game, though? Because I personally think the only way he would have signed a contract is if we're in the playoffs at this point in the season the top four.
Yeah, but I'm not going to mention any player names, but I've known of a couple of players whose agents played silly games with Millwall, and they fucking just... put their feet down, mate, buried their feet in the sand and went, fuck you, we're not moving. If that's the way you feel about it, go off, go see if you can get a better deal.
But Mickey, does that logic
10,
work?
They come back. Well, it's worked with a couple of the players.
But does that logic work with your best player in your team?
No, look, I don't know if it does.
Give him what he wants.
We don't know.
I think we've tried to give him what he wants.
I think they have. I think they have given him what he wants.
But he rejected it, though.
Do you see going to Forest a better option than being here? Unless, like what you said a minute ago, that him and Gary don't get on.
I don't think they don't get on. I think personally, from my opinion of looking at Jed, he's always said about playing in the Premier League. Always said about how he's got aspirations to do so and hopes to do so one day with Millwall. The season hasn't got off to a good start, and I personally think if we was in the playoffs at this point of the season, I honestly think he would have had a new deal by now. He would have agreed it, and it would have been done. I think he's gone into this season knowing if we don't get playoffs or aspirations to get into the Premier League, he's going to leave, because hopefully a club that goes up or a club that's already in the Premier League will take him on a free contract, which I probably think will happen if he's free contract at the end of the season.
Yeah, plus you he can gets see a bundle of money, doesn't he?
It's not, yeah, the money is one thing as well, because you can't begrudge him that. But also, I do think if he was, when you talk about, when you hear him in the talk in the media, he does a lot of podcast appearances, a lot of radio show appearances. He's a true believer in a football style of play and stuff like that. I'm not saying he's unhappy at Millwall, because, you know, he's appreciated by the fans and he appreciates the fans. It's a mutual respect thing there. That's always been there since he signed for the club, 2017, 2016 initially. But I personally think he thinks he can do better than Millwall, which is a perfectly fine thing to have. And I think the problem here, though, is I blame the club for being in this position right now, because I personally think we should have sold him last summer. I think he should have been gone last summer, reinvest that money in the squad. You
should
know
have been
he's
gone
not going to sign.
Before COVID.
But the thing is, though, at the same time, we're trying to roll the dice and thinking if we're in the playoffs or if we're in the top two magically at this point in the season, he's probably going to sign a contract. It's a gamble, but I think it's a gamble that's not paid off quite clearly, because you're going to lose an asset that you could have got north of 5 million for. You're losing for free. Or well, even £1 million this window. Ridiculous.
I mean, when they're talking 15 odd million for him and Saville, I mean, realistically, I don't think Middlesbrough really had the money to buy both of them.
They threw the dice, didn't they? Yeah.
It would have been too long term, and I don't think Millwall done it. I think it was probably still some of that deal what was left over while we got Saville back. But I think possibly the same as you, you know, if we could have got rid of him possibly just as COVID was hitting or around that time, we would have got top dollar for him. Now it's all seems to have died. But I agree with you. Last summer, we would have probably still been able to get maybe 5 mil for him. Now I think we're going to be absolutely lucky if we can get two.
But why are we looking to sell him now? I don't think we are looking to sell him.
I don't think we're looking to sell him. I think that if an offer comes in and he wants to leave, then yeah, I think that's, you know, that. And the other thing as well is, has he been given permission to talk to Forest yet? Or are Forest just pushing?
He's not allowed to until the deal's agreed, obviously. But they're not pushed. I don't think they've got to speak to him. It's more so it's just they're trying to bid for him because they know he's out of contract.
Because I've heard that Leeds are possibly interested as well. And there's another Premiership. I mean, there is rumour with other Premierships. I can't see anyone in the top six really looking at him.
Well, there was an article about West Ham looking at him, weren't there, earlier in the year?
Oh, yeah, sorry. They are in the top six at the minute, but...
Right, anyway, I feel like I'm going to bring a close to Jed Wallace talk.
I'm a believer, though, that no player is bigger than the badge. The badge is the badge. That's it. And if they're going to go, they're going to go. Yes, thank you for your service you gave us. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And then it's gone. Do you know what I mean?
That's my point of view. The club should have been more cutthroat about this scenario. In my honest opinion, the club should have been, right, he's not signing a new contract. He's worth this much money in the market. How much can we get for him? Can we reinvest that into the squad? Give the manager now some money to spend. All right, Tala, see you later. Because he's our best player, but I think someone in that club needs to be like, look, if you're not signing still, you've got to go, because we need to get money back for you that we've paid for you. We're going to lose our best player on a free transfer. That is feasibly going to happen, which I think is ridiculous. And if we do lose him this window, we're losing him for so much less than his market value if he had a 24-month contract, which is hard to comprehend, to be honest.
I thank him for everything he's done, and I appreciate all the effort, the way he treats the fans, the way, you know, little Ellis and all that lot, you know, everything he's done for all the fans and got involved and everything else. I can't fault him for any of that, but I don't know. They're starting to become a little bit of a bad taste in all this, isn't there?
Yeah, well,
on both sides.
It was always going to get messy, though.
Proper.
Because he's obviously got this ambition, but in reality, if the Premier League doesn't come calling and he leaves on a free transfer in the summer, he's going to end up at a Championship club, and everyone's going to lose their shit about it. But there you go. One last thing to end up the Jed Wallace chat, because I think it's this controversial one that I wanted to get your two's opinion. Is Jed Wallace a Millwall legend, Kai? In your eyes?
Well, for me,
in your time, you can say
in my time, Jed Wallace has to be up there with one of the best players that has been in the club since I've been supporting Millwall. I mean, I've been going to Millwall since probably when I was four, so 2007. Mm-hmm. So yeah, since then he has to be one of the best. In terms of players that have been there over a, you know, good 3, 4, 5 year period, he has to be the best. In terms of quality, in terms of his output of goals and assists, and in terms of how hard he works as well. And I really do, you know, if he does go, you know, I have to thank him for the efforts he's put in at Millwall. And yeah, he's going to be missed.
I don't wish him well if he goes to Nottingham Forest. I don't know if that's just me there. I don't think he's in my lifetime, right? And in Millwall history.
He's not a legend.
He's not a legend, is he? No. But what I will say at the same time is...
What's he done?
Two or three seasons, he's been our best player. And I've constantly said time and time again on this show, if he's not in our team, we're worse a team. And I still think it now.
But let's try this. Jimmy Abdu. Name your standout moment.
You can't compare the two, I mean.
You haven't got... Well, you can go for any of the players. What a legend. He hasn't got a standout bunch of moments.
But what he's done is consistency. That's what you have to give him, because the last two seasons...
He's a good footballer.
I agree with you. Yeah, this is what I'm saying, because I don't think he's a legend, but he's definitely... He's definitely been
people
a fan favourite.
People cast that word around too fucking freely now.
Agreed.
And, you know, he's not a legend. I mean, look, if you're listening to this, and you know, we're driving you mad or whatever, I mean, let us know. I mean, you know, get involved on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, definitely on YouTube. If you're watching it on YouTube, just let us know in the comments, mate. Is Jed Wallace, in your eyes, a Millwall legend? I think this will be on age more than anything else. I think the younger side of the viewer base, Kai sort of era, will possibly say, yes, possibly he is a legend, because they've not really seen many Millwall legends play compared to me and you, Omar. Do you know what I mean? I haven't seen some of them, but, you know, the ones we've seen. But, yeah, no, I don't think he's a legend.
I don't think he's a legend, but he gets in my all-time 11 for my lifetime on the right-hand side of it.
Yeah, same, definitely.
Which is like, you know, a fair reflection of what he's done for the club. So it's an interesting one, which is why I wanted to say it, because I see it mentioned a lot on Twitter. We shouldn't begrudge him for going. If he goes to Nottingham Forest, we shouldn't care. We should wish him well. If he goes to Nottingham Forest, it's the most sideways move ever. And for me, says personally, the incentive behind it is not what it's made out to seem. Because the incentive is Premier League football. And if you guys are not in Forest, yes, they're on the up at the moment under Steve Cooper. It's the most sideways move possible. They're, what, 1 point above us in the league and we've got a game in hand on them? I don't know.
Can I just add about Forest? The thing that I questioned about Forest, I saw a stat the other day. I don't know how true it is. You don't know how true when you see them on Twitter. But I saw a stat said the other day. I think it was a fan page or something. They put out that since 2016, Forest have signed 89 players. Like, I mean, they've already made three. I think they've made two signings, or three signs. They've signed Keenan Davies, Steve Cook, and they signed someone today, a Canadian fullback. And yeah, there's rumors that they're interested in Max Lowe as well again.
They want to get Spence on the permanent as well, don't they?
Spence, yeah. I mean, I know they're a much bigger club. Well, I don't know whether they are a much bigger club, but in terms of financial, I'd probably say they have got more money than us, definitely. But how obviously the thing is, that's what I'm trying to say, is that these clubs are spending like a lot of money and we're still competing with them. That just shows you how well Millwall as a club do in terms of our budget.
Definitely, you're right. That's, I think that's the fact of it, isn't it? Like we do punch above our weight a lot. And then this is it though. I suppose he will get more money at Nottingham Forest because financial fair play, they get bigger attendances, more of a match day revenue. They sell so many shirts. You see how many shirts they've got there on a match day at the City Ground. So, like, there is like elements there, Mickey. It's true, mate. You should go to
Nottingham Forest. Oh, I totally agree with you.
The amount of shirts you see there, I'm not even joking to you. 25,000 fans there, about 15,000 are in matchday shirts. Nothing against it, just not a part of our Millwall culture. But there you go. I'm gonna bring an end to Jed Wallace now, anyway, because we're gonna end up talking about it, I'm sure, for about the next 7 podcasts. Because if he goes this window as well, it's gonna get messy. But look, Saturday, guys, come on. What's your best memory of Millwall facing Crystal Palace, Kai, in your lifetime?
Millwall 3, Palace 0, Jason Punch and hat-trick. What day that was.
New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? Which one was it? I'll give you the answer.
I think it was New Year's Day, yeah. Yeah, it was New Year's Day, that's it, yeah.
What a second.
It was the first of the first, 2011. Jason Punch and hat-trick.
Brilliant day, honestly. Like, I think we might have even had a disallowed goal that day as well.
More than likely.
Because
the two of these goals in the second half, weren't they? Were like carbon copies, like cutting in from the left and just driven it across the goal. And I think it was Speroni in goal for Palace, just had no chance.
No, it was fantastic. I mean, it was a brilliant day. And yeah, it does live long in the memory of playing Palace in my lifetime anyway.
Mickey, what's your favourite Palace?
Has to be the 3-0. No, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've watched some of the earlier games and stuff with Palace, but yeah, no, it's got to be. I think that is. Yeah, I think that was it, because it was just a player what went on, you know, a player what had connections with them and scored three goals and buried them. And yeah, it's just got loads of connections with it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's
that game leaves such a sour taste in my mouth, though, because that hat trick stopped him from signing for us, in my opinion, because he was just ripping the league up in the Championship at the time anyway. He scored a couple of goals in the run up to that game. And I think his loan deal was coming to an end.
And just stayed. And just won 1-0.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, and it came to the end of the loan deal. I think that game was his like second to last, or maybe even his last game. And then the deal we had in principle, apparently, to keep him was ripped to shreds. And it's like, well, no, hang on. He's just scored a hat-trick in the Championship. And you got to pay more for him. And obviously, K-Jack at the time deemed it not possible with the club. So, yeah, it's sour grapes, that one. I mean, it's sour taste in my mouth for that one. But just to be different, I'm going to throw in our first game back in the Championship in 2010. Phil Robinson round Speroni to make it 1-0. 5,000 Millwall fans in that away end, the Arthur Waite stand. One of my fondest away days, to be honest with you. It's just, I remember it because it was October. It was a sunny day. And, you know, the first time we played Palace in 5-6 years at the time. So, obviously, we had that League One kind of drab time at the time. Spatman era, Donaghy era. But, obviously, we went back to the Championship. Great game. And also, the away end was, the turnstiles were smashed in. So, there's 5,000 fans there. I easily think there's about 7,500 there that day. It was the top draw.
When the everyone trying to scramble over the netting, over the seats. Correct. If you're a Crystal Palace fan listening to this, don't forget to go to Primark. I hear they're doing a cheap deal on black jackets.
Yes, very true. That's an interesting one. Do you want to bring the pod up to speed on that one, Mickey?
And it's always nice. There's a message going around from what's been taken from, I think it's a forum or a Facebook group, and when we do the edit on this, I'll put it up when I put it out and thingy, but basically there seems to be a private event by someone, and it says what to expect if you're traveling with a group. Click attending. Meet time 9:45 at the Albion Pub, South Norwood High Street, SE25 6HA. Just for those of you who fancy an early drink and you live in Norwood Way, you know what I mean, it's there for you. The pub's open early, especially for the Palace and Millwall. And everyone to be in a black jacket. They don't mean with a tie, and they don't mean as if you're going for dinner. They mean like a black bomber jacket, that sort of thing.
Read the next bit. This is what gets me the most. It says, how when they travel to the game.
No chanting when travelling to the game. All eyes will be on us for this. Keep it cool. Now, do you know what? That's what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to clip this. When we put this out, I'm going to clip this. I'm going to cut this ramble out, and I'm going to put Del Boy through the bar. Keep it cool, Trigger. Keep it cool. So, yeah. So, and then it says,
wankers.
Yeah. And this is the best bit. If you're bringing a plus one, it's your responsibility to let them know the above. Send this account a message if they are on Facebook, and we will invite them. Keep all the above Oh, shit. Sorry. It says, can you keep all the above private? No meat plans to be discussed outside of here.
You're not in the club then, mate. What's the wrong rule about Fight Club, mate? Shit. Come on.
If you're listening to this, just forget we said anything, all right? just forget. Because I'm really honest, those crayon-carrying ultras scare the living shit out of me. They are so scary. I nearly dropped my crayon box.
All of that makes me laugh. Not only the ridiculous nature of it, I'm questioning the legitimacy of it at some points because it doesn't make sense to me. It's crazy. But at the same time, I don't put it past them fucking gimps over there because they are just a different species. But I'm not going to give away where you live, but you know a lot of Crystal Palace fans, don't you? So, I mean, a lot of these people are interesting characters, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm being stopped in the street because I was wearing a Millwall hat around today, walking around whereabouts where I live, and this Palace fan just stopped me and said they were going to batter us on Saturday.
Oh, dearie me. There's another one. That bit stays in. That bit's going to be Boise.
Yeah, that's it. Actually, I think it's just they're an interesting bunch, and they were also play down the legitimacy of this game to them and how much it means to them.
Mate, but it's their derby. We could.
It's their derby. Who gives a shit if they got fucking the Brighton lot over there? Like, this is like their for me game anyway. This game's got real needles.
Their game next has got bigger rivalry between the two sides,
which is bollocks.
We just think they're muppets.
Yeah, correct.
Do you know what I mean? And, you know, flags and pretending to be Italian ultras and all that. And they're just fucking idiots. They're a disgrace to the Italian ultra name, mate. Do you know what I mean? And the Serbian ultra name and all of that with their big fucking crayon drawings on fucking blankets and sheets and their flares and all of that lot, mate. You're about as terrifying as a fucking wet fart, mate. Do you know what I mean? Just fucking... Listen, mate, pay your £18, get your coach, eh? Fucking coach to go, what, 10 mile, you bunch of fucking divs.
Well, I think it's definitely going to be an interesting game.
That was game on, mate.
I can't wait. And I do what I look forward to most, just like the idea of it's a lunchtime kickoff. I hate the idea, don't get me wrong, at the same time, but I'm happy it's not Friday night. I'm happy it's not a Sunday. I'm happy it's not Monday night. It's a Saturday 12:30, which in a weird way, I think is actually a better occasion because everyone's up early. It doesn't stop you from getting a few beers before. You just start 3 hours earlier. That's the simple rule of it and the simple math. And it's you just know it's going to be the first time in a long time at the Den that we've had a sellout. And you just know the surrounding area is going to be loving it. And it gives me vibes of when Everton came to town early doors now, where it's like the enjoyment of the day and we got the win and the celebrations after, all the pubs being full in the local area. Like, even if we don't win, we're going to be drying our sorrows together. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's just going to be the perfect cup game that we've all been calling for because, you know, we don't often get good cup draws. But for a third round draw, it's not too shabby, is it?
No, it's good.
No,
it'll be
even better if we beat them. Do you know what I mean? Because that would just fucking destroy them. Do you know what I mean? They will be in bits, mate.
What's your prediction then, Mickey? Come on. What's the score going to be on Saturday?
I think we'll win. I really do think we'll win. I think we'll come out and we'll go. I think they might score one because they're Premiership quality. But as long as we turn up, then I think we potentially could do 2-1, maybe 2-0. But if we're not looking to turn up, then I think that it might be a draw. Do we get replays now in the FA first round?
It's going to penalty. I think this is what my prediction is. It's going to penalties. There's no replay this weekend. I think it's going to go to penalties.
Penalties, Old Blow Lane, and we win 5-4.
Cooper to step up and win then, score the last one.
Well, he done an interview, didn't he, this week? And he said that he was first to take a penalty and put his hand up. Oh, I just think that's going to come back to bite him a little bit. I hate to be the cynical person here, but...
But I like that. I like what he said.
Yeah, 100%.
He shows that he's got a little bit of bottle about him and that he knows last time, you know, it went flying. But this time he could, you know, do... You know, I like the confidence that he's got. That's positive going into the game.
Definitely. I mean, Mickey, you've gone all still. Have you frozen? I've never seen you go so still in my lifetime. If you're listening on audio, you're thinking, who cares about that? But I just thought, yeah, is Mickey all right there?
If you're listening on audio, go over to YouTube, press the subscribe button, and you can see how ugly Kai really looks. Or as I said yesterday, it's Kia.
Yeah, Kia. Great car manufacturer, mate.
And I can't think of it. Was something Lion. Happy Lion or someone who dug me out for it and corrected me. And I quickly... Thanks to the editing button on YouTube, managed to change it rather quickly. So,
thankfully, you didn't see my reply to it either. Then, in which case,
I did. Yeah. Nice car. Yeah.
I will tell you, I think it's going to go penalty Saturday. I really do. And then Lady Luck can decide it for us. We talk about obviously players coming back. Ben Thompson's back in the squad this weekend, Japs. I don't think he's necessarily entitled to play. He probably won't play, but he might be a sub. Mill fan again, another one that's in the squad.
I would take.
There's going to be some serious needle in this team on Saturday, and I think that's all we can ask for.
I would have Danny in there. I would have fucking Ben in there. I would have fucking all the Millwall fans in there. Billy, all that. I would have them in there, mate, because the first 5 minutes, old Ben is just going to fucking go through one of them so hard, mate, that they're fucking shit their pants. Don't forget, Premier players won't like the atmosphere there. And they won't like that we are a up-and-at-them team. And that's the thing. Whenever we've had premierships there, remember Ben Chilwell? Fucking, Ben Chilwell. Yeah. Wouldn't take a throw-in because it was, like, too intimidating for him. Well, fuck me, mate. You Palace players, mate, are going to feel even worse, mate, because those ones who sit near the dugout, mate, will give you dog shit abuse.
I just hope we're not talking aftermath of the players... not necessarily turning up, but also the tactics being wrong. And it's not going to be difficult to get this right on Saturday, Gary Rowett. Two up top, players' energy and desire. That is a simple rule to you here. Afobe and Bradshaw up front, McNamara on the side, Billy Mitchell on the side, Thompson if you really want to, but Saville will also have a bit of bite to him, so I'm not bothered by that. But the simple brief here is do not go one up top, and also just tell the players to play their hearts out. That's all you've got to do. And if they don't do that Saturday, that'll be the crying shame here, because if we lose and we do that, I can take it. But if we're walking out the game thinking that was the worst performance we've had this season, that's when, like, for me, heads will roll, I think, personally. But
yeah, it's a bundle of money as well if we win, isn't it? So yeah, it's all good.
I'm gonna go 1-0, and I'm gonna go for Billy Mitchell to get the winner.
Oh yeah. If I reckon one of the, do you know what? I wouldn't put it past one or two of the Millwall boys, the Millwall fans, players, like the Millwall fan ones of them, to potentially do something in this, because it is gonna be big. It's probably the, you know, it's going to have a bit of rivalry to it. It's going to have an atmosphere. It's going to be, you know, it's going to get pumped up with you know, Alice and all that sort of shit before the game. It's going to be heaving. And, yeah, it's going to be pumping. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, mate.
See you on Saturday, everyone. This is it. Right, that's the end of our show anyway, lads. Thank you for joining me as always. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe and hit the like button. Obviously, subscribe on Apple and Spotify podcasts. It helps us out in abundance. And also, check us out on Twitter at ThatMillPods. We're going to leave you with that certain song that we're all expecting to hear on Saturday, 24 Years Living Next Door to Alice. Thanks, guys. See you later.
See you later.